For those of you who don't recognize me with my new look here, a little bit of facial hair, my name is Tony Pedroni, and I am the Shepherd Group Pastor at Reston Bible Church, and it's good to be with you this morning. I just celebrated the Big 5-0, that's birthday, and thank you, and this is my young macho look. And Donna, my wife, she calls it my grubby old man look. And, you know, I understand grubby because Donna doesn't like facial hair on me. But old? I'm thinking, I don't get that one, you know. There may be some gray, but 5-0 is not old, you know. And then the other day, I'm taking a shower. As I'm standing in the shower, for the life of me, I couldn't remember. Did I just wash my hair or not? So I may be a grubby old man after all. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. About 4 months ago, Mike mentioned in one of his messages, he said he was thinking about going to a bar and just talking with somebody, witnessing or something. And it was after that service. My oldest son, Jesse, I think it was Sunday afternoon, my oldest son, Jesse, 19 years old, he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Dad, how about you and me going to a bar and let's see what God will do?" My first thought was, are you even old enough to go to a bar? I didn't know. And sure enough, he's not old enough. And so I said, well, hey, how about we go to a fast food joint and see what God will do? And so we made a date Friday night. We were going to go out and see what God would do. And as Friday was approaching, I started having doubts and fears. And my mind started playing these what-if games. And I'm sitting here saying, well, what if it's a disaster? You know, what if we go out and nothing happens? Or what if, you know, somebody gets hostile? Or what if? And as I was going to the Lord in prayer about this is what he said to me. He said, "Hey, Tony, do you believe that I am able? Tony, if it is my will for you and Jesse to go speak to someone Friday night, do you believe that I'm able to lead you to that place and that person?" And I had to answer, "Yes, I do, Lord." And then he said to me, "Then walk with me and trust me in this." Right there, the Lord changed my heart from focusing on my anxiety and fears and doubts to focusing on the truth that He is able if it be His will. And that same question has been surfacing over and over again in my life these last 4 months. Tony, do you believe I'm able if it be my will? From evangelism to finances to family issues to my heart issues. Tony, do you believe that I am able? Do you really believe that I am able if it be my will? And you know, we say God Almighty. Do we really believe that He is Almighty? Genesis 17, we're going to read some verses here. Genesis 17, starting in verse 1. "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and you will be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. In verse 15, And then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, No. But Sarah, your wife, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time that we can gather, that we can look into your word, that we can read truth, that we can know truth, that we can know you. And I pray, Lord, that you would take this time and do a work in our hearts. Change us, Lord. May knowledge become real to us. May you impact us and change us for your glory and honor, so that we might bring you much pleasure. For you alone are worthy. And I ask this in the precious name of your Son. Amen. Genesis 17 records a dialogue that God initiates with Abraham. And in this dialogue, God promises a number of things to Abraham. And prior to Genesis 17, Abraham's 99 years old. Prior to this, God had already appeared and spoken to Abraham a number of times. I believe like five times. And he had said to Abraham, on each of those times, he had made promises to Abraham. Each of those times. And it started when Abraham was 75 years old, roughly 25 years prior. In Genesis chapter 12, God appears and says, Abraham, I want you to leave your land and I want you to go to a land that I will show you. I will make a nation of you, a great nation of you, and I will give you this land for your descendants. And Scripture tells us that Abraham believed God. Hebrews says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed God and he went out to receive his inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He believed God. And then in Genesis chapter 13, God expands on these promises to Abraham. Or he gives them more details in Genesis 13. He appears again. He says, Abraham, your descendants, by the way, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the dust of the earth. And then he appears again in Genesis 15 and he gives him more details or more specifics. And in Genesis 15, Abraham he cries out to God and he says, God, I'm childless. Will this one who lives with me, Eliezer, is he going to, he's either a servant or he's a relative. but he's not his Abraham's own child. He says, I'm childless. Is Eliezer going to be the heir? What are you going to do? And God speaks to him again and says, no, Abraham, I'm going to bring forth a son, an heir from your own body. And then he says, go out and look at the stars. And Abraham looks at the stars. He says, are you able to count the stars? Because your descendants will number the stars. And Scripture says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And then, I don't know, maybe 9 years-ish, 10 years passes by. And Abraham and Sarah, they don't have a son. God promised it, but promised Abraham a son from his own body, but there's no son. 9 years later-ish, 9 years, 10 years later. And Sarah says, Abraham, God hasn't given me a son. Maybe he wants you to have a son through my handmaid, my servant Hagar. Take her as your wife. Maybe this is how God's going. So Abraham takes Hagar's wife, and Ishmael is born. And Abraham believes that Ishmael is the heir, that the promises of God are going to flow through Ishmael. And then here it is in Genesis 17, 13 years after Ishmael has been born. 25 years after God first spoke to Abraham. And God appears to Abraham again in Genesis 17. And the first thing he says to Abraham, the very first thing he says, Abraham, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. That's the first time that term is used in Scripture. In Genesis 7, first time it's used. And God is the one who says it about himself. And he's telling Abraham at this moment, Abraham, I am the all-powerful one. Abraham, I have the power to do anything I choose to do. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is too difficult for me. And then he goes on and he proceeds to tell Abraham what he's going to do. With the I will, I will, I will, I will. It's almost, as I read this, it's almost like God is prepping Abraham for something that is too difficult to believe, too amazing to believe. And he starts out and he says, Abraham, I want you to know something. I am Almighty. Nothing is too difficult for me. I am able. So trust me, Abraham, and keep walking with me. And I read this a number of times. I've been reading this. And this question comes up. Lord, why is it here in Genesis 17, why is it here that you tell Abraham that you are God Almighty, that you are able? Why here? And I don't have an answer. Lord, I have some guesses, but I don't have an answer. I mean, Abraham believed God was able. He certainly believed it. So why, Lord, are you telling Abraham right here, Abraham, I am able to do anything I choose to do. Walk with me and you'll be blameless. Why are you saying that here? 25 years ago, Lord, 25 years ago you spoke to Abraham And you said, Abraham, I want you to leave your country and I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. I'm going to make a great nation of you. I'm going to give you a land for your descendants. And Abraham believed God. In Genesis 15, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son from your own body. Count the stars. Your descendants are going to number the stars. And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. So why here? Why here does God want Abraham to focus on the truth that he is able to do whatever he decides to do? I mean, was Abraham's faith wavering? I don't know. God certainly, he expands on some promises in Genesis 17. He gives Abraham more details and expands. He told him in Genesis 12, hey, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Here he says, you're going to be the father of a multitude of nations. All right. One major detail that he gives them is the fact that, hey, it's Sarah who's going to have the child, the promised child, the heir. It's going to come through Sarah. But I read this and I think, Abraham believed that. You know, in verse 17 of chapter 17, it says, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He falls on his face before this God who he adores and respects. He falls on his face. And he said in his heart, will a child be born to a man that's 100 years old? Will Sarah, who's 90 years old, past childbearing, is she going to have a child? And I don't think Abraham is saying this in the sense of, nah, I don't believe that. I think he's actually amazed, believing it. He's amazed. Lord, I'm 100 years old and you're telling me, and Sarah's 90, and we're going to have a child. I think he believes it. Because he turns around, he says in verse 18, oh no, Lord, let it be Ishmael. Let him be the one. And God says, no, Abraham, Sarah is the one. And whatever reason that God has for telling Abraham right here at this time that I am El Shaddai, I'm able. Walk with me, Abraham. Trust me. Whatever the reason is, he wants Abraham to focus on that truth. I don't know why, but he wants Abraham to know he can do anything he chooses to do. That Friday night, 4 months ago, Jesse and I get ready to go out. And we hop in my car and we pray. Lord, where do you want us to go? We pray for a little while. And then we stop praying. And I said, Jesse, did the Lord hit you with a lightning bolt? Tell you where he wants us to go? He said, no. I said, okay. I said, hey, I was coming when I came home today. I said, I'm just driving down the road, and for some reason, you know, I see a Starbucks, and I focus on a Starbucks. And then, boom, I see a Mickey D's, and I focus on it. So I'm thinking, Starbucks or Mickey D's, why don't we go to Starbucks? He says to me, actually, Dad, I was thinking Mickey D's. I said, okay, that's cool. Let's go to Mickey D's. So, boom, we head off to Mickey D's. Got our Bibles in our hand. We walk into Mickey D's. Place is empty. We are the customer. It's empty. It's 7:38 at night. It's like, okay, Lord. So we order our drink, and we order some drinks, and then this lady and her son walks in. She's a Muslim lady, all dressed up with the burqa and the head covering, and she walks in with her son. So we get our drinks, we sit down, and boom, we open the Word, and talking, reading, I think, the Gospel of John, and we're sitting there talking whatever about the Lord. And this lady and her son sit just almost right behind us, right here, 5 feet. And thinking, okay, and they could have sat five chairs, five tables that way or that way, but they sit right here. So we keep talking, and said, let's pray. So we pray right there. Lord, do you want us to speak to this lady and her son? Give us the words. What do you want us to say? So we keep talking and read some more, and all of a sudden we turn around. And I said, excuse me. I said, can I ask you all a question? And she, very polite lady, she says, sure. I said, this is my son, and we're sitting here. We're talking about God and spiritual things. She says, are you reading your Bibles? I said, yeah, yes, we are. She says, that was it. And I said, my question, I said, it's a personal question. If you don't feel like answering it, by all means, don't answer it. But here's my question. If you could ask God anything, any question, what would you ask him? And she sits there, and she looks at me for a second. And her son is sitting a little bit behind her, and he does this. And then he starts this. And then she says to us, I don't know what I'd ask. I really don't have a question. I said, okay. I said, how about you? To her son. And he says, yeah, I've got a question. I'd ask him, why is there existence? I thought, you know. I said to him, can you rephrase that question for me? I did. He says, no, I really can't. I mean, that's the question. Why is there existence? I said, what do you mean? You mean, why is all this here? Why are we here? Yeah. Why are we here? I said, that's a great question. You want to know something? This book I'm reading tells us exactly why we're here and why all this is here. And the Lord opened the door for Jesse and I to talk to them about we're here, all this is here, for God's good pleasure. That's why it's here. God created you for his good pleasure, to be in a relationship with him, you and me. And sin, because of sin in our life, we've all sinned. Our relationship has been destroyed. We're separated, whatever we said to him. But God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Jesus, the Son of God. Why? Why did God? He wants us to restore us back, to die on the cross, to pay for all of our sins. To bring us back into a relationship with him right now that'll last for eternity. I think we talked for just a few more minutes and then they had to leave. And she gets up and they get up and she comes right by my table right there and she says, I'm a Muslim and my husband's Jewish. And we want to raise our son to be a Christian. Yeah. I said, wow. I said, that's interesting. So I said, well, hey, I go to a church right down the street. I said, here's the address. I said, y'all are welcome. We welcome Jewish, Muslim, you're welcome. Why don't you come? And then we left. Then they left. Jesse and I left that night, fired up. We were pumped up. It was a sweet, sweet night. Is God able to lead Jesse and I to a place and a person on a Friday night that he, if he wants us to talk to them? Is he able to do that? You better believe he's able. You better believe it, Tony. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is too difficult for God. And this truth that God is able, if it be his will, has been, he has been hammering it home to me for the last few months. And we're praying. We're praying for Jesse and my family. Lord, we're praying that Jesse would be able to go to VT next year. Is God able to provide for Jesse to go to VT? You better believe he is. We've been praying for my daughter. Lord, give her this dream job. Is God able to give my daughter her dream job? You better believe it. I've been praying, Lord, take me deeper with you. Give me a greater passion, a greater love for you. Do that in my heart. I don't know how to do it. Are you able to do it? You better believe he's able. If it be his will, and it is his will. Listen carefully. I don't want you to misunderstand what I am saying. There is a big difference between Genesis 17 and what happened on a Friday night 4 months ago. It's a big difference. And I want you to understand. God never told me, he never promised me that he would lead us to someone at Mickey D's on Friday night. He never promised or said that. What he did promise and tell me is he is able if it be his will. So Tony, you keep walking with me and just trust me in this. That's what he told. And that's what he tells us. God has never promised me that he's going to send my son to VT next year. What he has told me is he is able, if it be his will, to provide for Jesse to go to VT. So trust me in this, Tony. Just keep walking with me. And the truth is, God may not send Jesse to VT. The truth is, God's will may be that Jesse go somewhere else. And if that's the case, Lord, let it be. Your will be done. We're going to keep walking with you. I'm going to keep trusting you. God never promised Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he would deliver them from a fiery furnace. What they did know and what he did promise them, they proclaimed to Nebuchadnezzar loud and clear. Nebuchadnezzar, if it be his will, he is able. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O Nebuchadnezzar. And if it not be his will, know this, O king, we're not going to worship your gods. We're not going to bow down to the golden image. We're going to keep walking with God. We're going to keep trusting God. That's my message for you today. That's been my message from God to me for a number of months. What are you going through today? What's going on in your life? Any fears, any doubts, any unanswered questions? Any challenges, trials? Any overwhelming sin? Know this. God is able to handle all of this and to lead you and to work His perfect will in your life. Trust Him. Keep walking with Him. And by the way, His will for you is absolutely glorious. He has great plans for you and me, and He's able to bring them about. So I don't need to be anxious about the what ifs. God is almighty. He is El Shaddai. And if you are here today, and maybe you don't even really understand what this Christianity is about. Maybe you're like that boy at Mickey D's. Why are we here? What's this all about? God makes it perfectly clear why you're here. He created you for His good pleasure, to be in an intimate relationship with Him. That's why you're here. And the truth is, you've sinned against God. We all have. And we've turned our back on God. That's the truth. And we've become the Lord of our own lives. And because of that, we've been separated from God. And that separation will last for an eternity. But God so loved us that He did something about it. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to die on the cross and to pay for all of your sins, all of my sins. Why? So He could bring us back into a right relationship with Him that starts now and will last for an eternity. And God is able to do that. He's able to forgive you of all your sins and to give you a new life right now. He's able. And it is His will. And it's as simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, God in the flesh, the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on what He did for you. He died on the cross to pay for all your sins. And see, call upon Him to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And if you do that, God promises you'll be forgiven, you'll have a new life, and it'll start immediately. He is able, and that is His will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here right now, Lord, that You're speaking to, who has been separated from You, who is not called upon You, may they do so right now. And if you are here, you just pray along with me in your heart, in the quietness of your heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. You just declare this to the Lord quietly in your own heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, God, and I need a Savior. And I do believe that Your Son, Jesus, is God in the flesh and that He died for me to pay for all my sins. And I call upon Him right now. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I receive Him as my Savior. And if you're sitting here and you know Christ and you got a number of things going on in your life, know this, that He is able. Lord, we give You thanks, for You truly are the Almighty God. To You be all glory and honor in Your Son's name. Amen.